Thankful praise is our title today, and our text is Luke 17, 11 to 19. We've been seeing, as you go through Luke, you see people around Jesus, you see how Jesus interacts with them, you see many needs being filled, especially people being healed of physical disabilities or sicknesses. You see Jesus offering forgiveness to people that he comes across and encouraging them to trust, to believe in him. Today, we have a small group that comes across Jesus, and they have leprosy is how they're described. These ten men who have leprosy encounter Jesus. Leprosy, we're not very familiar with it. It's totally treatable today. So, I don't know of anybody that's had leprosy. That's not common for us, but we're aware of it probably because if we've read the Bible, we've come across this skin disease, or actually probably more accurately, several different skin diseases described that way in the Bible, not necessarily what is leprosy today, but very contagious, very damaging to the body. And so because of that, very isolating. And in fact, not even that long ago, there have been places where there have been leper colonies for people with leprosy to be away from the general population where they may infect other people. So very isolating. Part of the context today, in our text today, something to be aware of is that if somebody was cured or recovered from a disease like leprosy in the Old Testament, which rules would have applied in Jesus' day as well, they were instructed to go to the priest. The priest was the one that God had put in place to kind of monitor these things. So, was kind of the one that would determine if somebody was allowed to be with the people, if there were sicknesses, things like that. And so the process, if somebody said, yeah, I've recovered from this, they would go and show themselves to the priest. And the priest had various ways, depending on what the thing was, what the sickness was, or something else going on. God had given the priest different ways to test for that and to make sure that things were good. And so he would do a test for healing. So that's significant as we read our text today. That's what comes into play here as well. And so we find Jesus interacting with this small group of people that come to him, and we listen for how he responded to them and how that interaction went. So let's do that now. Luke 17, 11 to 19 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that. Luke 17, 11 to 19, reading in Jesus' name. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us, and as we consider the healing that these men received and the response to it, I ask that you would guide us as well to consider the role that you have had in our lives and could have as well in the future as we think about different ways that we may need healing. And so we ask that you would guide our hearts and our minds as we consider this today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to invite any kids that would like to come up to the front. All right, we have a few more maybe on their way up. Okay, anybody else? One more maybe. All right. Has any of you ever, you could go down there if you want. Oh, one more, okay. Has any of you ever been sick? Have you been sick? Have you ever been sick? Yeah? Has anybody of you not been sick? Ever? You've been sick. Yeah, okay. Okay, you've been sick. Have you been sick ever for a long time? Maybe some have. Boaz has, right? Somebody else? Jude? Somebody else? Yeah. Have you ever been sick and you've been... So maybe you don't feel well. You've been laying... Maybe you're laying in your bed or on your couch or something like that. But then maybe at some point you're feeling okay. Or maybe you see... Have you been sick ever where you see people doing things and you really think, I want to be able to be a part of that. Maybe you have a sibling or siblings that are playing and you really want to be able to play with them. Have you ever had that happen? No, never? No? You have? Yeah. Your brother's playing with something, you think, oh, I really want to do that. Or maybe you would get to go someplace, but because you're sick, you don't get to go there. You have been too? You've had that happen? Yeah. If you're sick and you don't get to do things, isn't it, you really hope that you can get better, right? That you can be able to do things again, that you can be with people and you don't have to worry about making other people sick or any of that. So it's really a nice feeling, isn't it, when you get all better? First of all, you're happy that you're feeling better, right? Especially if you have a tummy ache. That's the worst for me. I don't like that. I just want to be over that. I want to feel better. If you're feeling all better... And then not only that, you get to be with other people again and play and do whatever else there. It's really nice to do that, isn't it? Well, we had, maybe you guys heard, we had in what I just read, some people were sick. Do you remember, do you know what they were sick with? Anybody know? Did you hear? What did they have? It's called leprosy. Have you ever heard of that? It talks about it some in the Bible. And it's something that would make your be on your skin. It could make you numb, maybe, so you can't feel, and you can get injured from that. It would eat away at your skin and at your flesh, and so it could be very bad. And so they would stay away from people, so they didn't get other people sick. And what did Jesus do? Did anybody hear? What did he do? Did you guys hear what happened to them? What do you think he did? If you know anything about Jesus, what do you think he probably did? Any guesses? Healed them, yeah. Did he touch them? No. What did he do? He said, go to the priest, right? Go show yourselves to the priest. And they went away and they were healed as they were going away, right? Yeah, so we're going to think about what does that mean and how does that help us? How does that help us trust Jesus? I have a picture here and I have an extra picture on here too because anybody know what that is right there? A leopard? Yeah, I put that on there with a circle crossing it out because today we're talking about lepers, not leopards. So if you hear me say leper, I just have that on there as a reminder. You can be coloring this story. You could color the leopard too, but we're not talking about leopards. We're talking about lepers, people that are sick. So that can remind you. If you hear me say that, if you think I said leopard, probably not. All right. All right. Do you want to hand those ones out? Thank you guys for coming up. Would you hand those ones out? And maybe one of these other guys can help you too. All right. All right. Yeah. Can you hand those to these guys? And thank you guys for coming up. All right. Very cooperative over here. That's nice. Get all those handed out. You guys too. Sometimes, if one of the younger ones is tasked with handing them out, they need a little bit of help because it goes kind of slowly. All right. Oh, did you want to give me the extras? Okay. Eh, that's fine. That'll work. All right. Thank you. All right. Well, I want you to imagine being back in Jesus' day, you know, in a time where, you know, there wasn't ready medical care. There wasn't a lot of tests for, checking what diseases were, a lot of medication, a lot of care like that. And so back at that time, imagine you're a young adult living during that time. But so far in your life, things have been pretty normal. You have your friends, you have your family, there are celebrations, you're a part of those things, birthdays, holidays, you're a part of all of these things, you're a part of life. You go about whatever your trade is, you go about doing that work day in and day out, and you get to be a part of life. Maybe you're a craftsman and you build things for people. Maybe you have another type of job and you do those things and you interact with people. But then one day you notice something on your skin and you think, well, maybe this is just a rash and it'll clear up. And so you go about your work, you go about your day, and you're thinking, all right, I got to watch this. And instead of getting better, though, you try different things that you know that could help make a rash go away. And after a while, you realize that's not what this is. This is something worse. And it becomes clear before too long that this is leprosy. And so now things start to change. You can't be a part of your family. You can't be with your friends. You need to be isolated. And so you're isolated from those that you have been with for your life, for all of your life, growing up. You're now isolated. And you find other lepers with the same disease, and now you are isolated with them. You're with them, but it's together with them in really a situation that is not good. You have to be outside of the village. You have to find some kind of shelter out there. Maybe the people from town help you out. They can bring you food, you know, leave it at a spot and you come and get it. So you can do that, but you don't get to really interact with them in the same way that you used to. And as the disease progresses, you have more pain in some ways. Maybe there's more numbness. Your body is starting to fall apart. And it's not really a good outlook for your life. As we think about the effects of leprosy, on the bodies of these men that in particular had it, that Jesus encountered, we think first of all about the disease, about the thing that's wrong with the person themselves. And we think about this as a sickness. And I think we can then, as we think about their situation, we might think about our own, in our own lives. I don't think anybody has dealt with leprosy, but some of us might have dealt with physical disease that has been long-term. We might have dealt with it on a short-term, but maybe severe in such a way that we understand what it is to have problems in our body. We know that in this life, these things, as we get older, these things just increase, right? Our bodies are not getting better over time. They start to fall apart. Even if we don't have leprosy, we know that. We have physical illnesses and things like that. If we look at our hearts, we find spiritual illness. We find rebellion against God. And this is real. It's something that's in our lives, and it's real, and it's significant in our lives. It eats at us, and if nothing is done about it, it destroys us. Maybe we have time, too, where we've been caring for others, and we have to do that in a certain way. Maybe there's, we care for others, and we're responsible for them, and we have to make decisions for them. And maybe we see, you know, both of these as well, physical ailment, spiritual ailment. We don't always know what to do. Sometimes, often in parenting, we find this, right? We're tasked with caring for someone. If a parent caring for a child is called parenting, is a child caring for a parent called childing? I don't know. What is that called? But sometimes that happens as well. Or we're caring for a member of the family or a dear friend, and we see these effects. But beyond the disease itself, we find secondary effects from that that can also be isolating. Sometimes the nature of the disease itself is isolating because it might be contagious. More often, maybe in our experience, it's the isolation that comes, if it's a physical illness, the isolation that comes from not being able to be with others for whatever reason, whether it's because we simply can't go and be around with others, our physical limitations don't allow that to happen, or maybe there's some we just don't want to because of what's going on there. And so that can be isolating. There can also be, as we think about those things that go from the physical now to the spiritual, we can often find things in our life that truly are isolating as well. Maybe we have experiences in our life of being alienated from people in our experiences for different reasons. Maybe those are people have caused us pain and hurt in our lives. Maybe it has not been serious, but it might be something that, you know, we still interact with people, but it's not quite the same We don't quite trust that person in the same way that we used to because of hurt that has happened. Maybe we have caused others pain and hurt. And so we experience isolation, not because of physical problems that are going on, but because of the sin and rebellion that is in our lives. And we experience that isolation. There are different types of leprosy. If we think about the leprosy that these men had, I think we can think of all of these different illnesses as related to that leprosy in some way. And let's go back then to that situation as we're imagining this with some more details. Imagine you're that person again, dealing with leprosy. You're isolated from people. You have this illness that is breaking down your body. But one day, you're spending time outside of a village, because you can't really spend time in the village, but you're outside of a village with nine others. You probably have been with them for a long time. Nobody else can interact with you, so you're caring for each other the best that you can. You're outside that village, and you see a crowd of people approaching the village. Now, you have to stay away. You can't go over to the crowd. But from a distance, you see this crowd. And in some way, you identify that one of the people in this crowd, maybe because of conversation that's going on, maybe because you've heard it elsewhere, for whatever reason, you identify that one of these people in this crowd is Jesus, somebody that you've heard of him. You've heard of him healing people. He's on his way into this village. Before he gets in and out of reach of where you can get to him, because you're not allowed to approach close, from a distance then you call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." You call out with the others. And as you call out, it draws people's attention, and there's a pause. And you think, what's he going to do? Jesus stops. He's looking at you. The people that are with him, kind of looking around, they look at you, they look at each other, they look at Jesus. It's not really saying all this in there, right? But we could imagine this is the situation. Everyone's looking at each other. What is Jesus going to do? Do we have to be concerned that these 10 men might come closer? You know, these lepers. Are they going to come closer? They're looking at one another. Will Jesus heal them? Sometimes Jesus would heal with a touch, touching somebody. Sometimes with a word, saying they, you know, if somebody is crippled, sometimes he would just tell them to get up, and they would get up because they were healed. What would he do here? It says, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Well, not a healing exactly. But go show yourselves to the priests. Okay, everybody pauses again. It doesn't really say that, but, you know, they're pausing. Go show yourselves to the priests. You can imagine these guys with leprosy thinking, all right, well, what am I going to show them? The people that are with Jesus are probably, you know, looking at one another here, looking over at the guys with leprosy. It doesn't look like they're healed. What would they go and show the priests? Well, I guess there's nothing else to do, right? Go towards Jerusalem. Probably several days away, as it looks like Jesus is still up north in the country, in Galilee and Samaria, in that area towards the north. So it's probably several days to get to Jerusalem. So imagine yourself in the position of that leper again, heading towards Jerusalem. All right, we're going to show ourselves to the priests. I don't know what will happen. And then all of a sudden, you're healed. The leprosy is gone. Your body is clean. Whatever feeling, whatever pain or other aspects of the disease you have felt in your body, those things are healed. They're better. What do we learn about Jesus healing here? The way that God heals from this? Well, first of all, healing happens in the right place. We find healing in the right place. We find healing going to God. Where we find leprosy, we have illness in life, we have isolation. Where is the right place to go? Well, there's healing in God's Word. There's healing in Jesus. There's healing in trusting Him. Even in sending them to the priests, the other things that Jesus healed didn't need anybody to go to the priests to verify that they were healed. But in this case, that was the way things were structured. And so Jesus sent them to the priests, to the way that God had ordained, focusing them again on the reality that healing comes through God, comes from God. And as we trust God to be able to heal, it comes from calling out to Him. We go to the right place if we seek healing. Imagine again, you're one of those lepers and you're there and you realize that your body is healed and you pause. Okay, again, we don't know if they pause, but imagine here, they stop in the road and they're looking around at each other. Hey, I think I'm all better. Are you better too? Yeah, I'm okay. My body's good. Hey, well, wow, what just happened? Hey, you too? Yeah, me too. All of them. They're healed. All right. Well, I guess we're healed. The right thing to do is go to show ourselves to the priest. Isn't that funny? That's what Jesus just said to do. And now we can do that. Now we know it's going to go okay because our bodies are healed. And so they go. But imagine you're that one, a Samaritan, so a kind of a foreigner or half foreigner, not quite part of God's people in the same way as the others. You think, wow, I'm healed. So that's the proper thing to do, is to go show myself to the priest. But I need to acknowledge who did this. Why did the others not go back? I don't know. We don't know. Maybe they were, you know, partway to Jerusalem and they felt like they needed to do that first and go back. Maybe, you know, we could give them the benefit of the doubt there. But this one says, this is too big. This was too significant. I need to go back. I'm imagining he probably went back to the priest later then. Maybe. We don't know. But he says, I have to praise God first. Heading back to the village now. Imagine you're this person now, healed. You go back to the village. And as you enter the village, because now you can, you yell out to everyone, He healed me. I'm healed. God has healed me. And you find Jesus in the village. And now you can get close to Jesus. You don't have to shout from a distance. You can get close to Him. And so you fall down at His feet and thank Him and praise Him. A thankful praise for what He has done. Where are the others? Jesus asked. 10 cleansed. He knew it. Nobody else knew that the others were healed other than the one that came back. As if Jesus knew it because He's the one that did it, right? He knew they were all healed. How easy is it not to recognize what God has done? Not even to acknowledge Him sometimes in the ways that He works in our lives. God is not, I don't think God, and I think we can find in Scripture it's true, God is not, you know, laying down a law saying, well, if you don't thank me for what I've done, I'm going to take it back, right? He doesn't do things like that. I don't think Jesus is trying to get us to think that way either, right here. But He's simply drawing attention to the fact that thankfulness was pretty rare in this group. And I think that's often true. But this man came back. And the question is, who did the healing? And who does the healing? And as we read God's Word, we recognize who it is that has healing. And who it is that heals us from many different things. And so Jesus makes a comment on this man's trust. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. He trusted the word that Jesus had said. The others did too. The difference was they didn't come back to thank Jesus for it. If you have experienced healing in your life, especially in places where you have called out to God, you know that He has done it, that He has done that healing. If you want to experience that, maybe right now there's some place where you're feeling a need for healing, whether it's physically or maybe spiritually, isolation from others, conflict with others, or simply hurt that is there. We might reflect on our lives right now and just say, where have you had leprosy in some sense in your life? Maybe you've seen it healed. Maybe you can think of ways where you might still have leprosy right now. What are those areas where there's leprosy in our lives? Jesus invites us to bring it to Him. We can do that on our own. We can easily do that on our own. We simply ask Him. Sometimes we might feel like we need something more, like we want to do that with others. We have ways of doing that in our congregation. On Sundays, after the service, we have somebody up front here. You know, there's two people that come up front every Sunday. Different people come up here to pray with people. It's an invitation. If you have some area in your life, and you don't have to feel like it's a big thing either, but if you have some area where you feel like, I need to bring this to God, and I want somebody to do it with me, because I feel like it will, I mean, it helps us, doesn't it? To have somebody pray with us, pray for us. You're invited to do that. And nobody's going to be looking and saying, oh, did you see who went up front after church this Sunday? I wonder what's going on with them, right? No, we don't do that. We don't do that, but what we do, as people are comfortable with it, is we do share prayer requests as those are passed on and if it's requested, right? You know, the people that are up here, they'll keep confidential what you're asking to pray for if you want it, but if you want that shared, there's a prayer team that meets on Wednesday. And they are glad to pray every week for the prayer needs of our congregation. And I would say, too, probably those that are up here, if you're a little uncomfortable coming up to the front, I would guess that every one of them, I haven't asked them, but I would guess that every one of them would be glad to have you find them after the service and pray with you if you want that. Maybe you just have friends that you can get together with and pray and bring your requests to God. Do it. Call out to Him. And where He has healed, whether that's physical healing, whether that's emotional and spiritual healing, where He has healed, praise Him. Tell of it. Tell others about it. Tell it here, among the body of Christ here. Tell how He has healed and thank Him with thankful praise. And as we go through that and as we find other things, the invitation is still there for us to call out to Him and to trust that He does heal. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the way that You heal. Thank You for the way that we saw these men trust Jesus' word and go to show the priests, even though they had not been healed yet. But they went on their way, trusting that in some way they would be, and You healed them. Thank You for the ways that You have healed us in our lives, physically, spiritually, especially spiritually, as we think about the disease of sin and rebellion that keeps us from You. We thank You that You heal and that You have healed. Help us to praise You and thank You and give You the glory in thankful praise. And tell others too, who may still need Your healing, as we probably do too, in different ways. Thank You that we can trust You to heal in every way in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.